Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham. I'll be joined by Seth Meganson here. This is the NCAA Tournament Coronavirus Edition. We're doing the Friday games of what would be the second big day of the NCAA Tournament. And Seth's calling in right now. And Seth, welcome.
Yep, I'm here.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So we got through day one of the NCAA Tournament Coronavirus Edition. We went through 16 games, and we did so much quicker than the actual games would have played out. We start at 12 noon. We go through about 12 midnight on the Thursday and Friday, and back-to-back, wall-to-wall basketball. And we had six upsets. We ended up with one bracket with 12-13 going through to the second round, and we'll see where things go today. Should be interesting to see. Let's start in Omaha. I've written all these down, and we're going to do like we did yesterday for our listeners out there. We're going to go actually site by site. So, of course, you know, you'd see different times of games during the day, but we're going to try to make some sense of this. So we're starting in Omaha, and, of course, the way the tournament field is set up now in a pod system, it's not necessarily the case that everybody goes through to the same region from the different pods. And that's going to be the case. And actually, in Omaha, let's see. I didn't write where those two were from, so I'll have to look that up. The first part of our bracket is in the Midwest. And we have the number one seed, Kansas. And they would play the winner of the NC Central Prairie View. Who did you have winning that one, Seth?
I will not act like that I know a lot about Prairie View and NC Central, but I will say that I know NC Central, I believe that they were looking for a fourth straight bid to the NCAA tournament, and so I'll go with them because it seems like, you know, they've built a solid program there, so I'll say that they win that game for a chance to play the overall one seed Kansas.
All right, so is there any UMBC possibility here with NC Central?
Nope. Okay. Kansas would just be too good. I mean, they have the best 1-2 punch in basketball in Dotson and Azubuike. And yeah, I was going to say, like, Kansas is going to be a tough out for anybody, obviously, in this tournament. They're the number one overall seed for a reason. And yeah, I just don't think North Carolina Central would have any way to stop Kansas inside. So I think Kansas wins pretty comfortably.
I would agree. Kansas playing the best basketball in the country down the stretch. Maybe a UVA team we'll talk about a little later, just in terms of the winning streak at the end of the season. But Kansas had started to look maybe mid-January like the best team in the country, and they really never lost that mantle from that point on. So Kansas goes through in the Midwest from Omaha. Now 8-9 game, Houston and Florida. Who you got here?
So, yeah, this is all – obviously the 8-9 games are always very interesting. Houston, it will be interesting to see how they do. I didn't watch much American basketball this year, but we've known that Houston has a very always for the last couple of years has had a very solid team. Florida, though, I feel like with Johnson and Blackshear, they would just be able to control that game. Houston would probably be able to limit Florida's scoring. So I think this game might be like a – in the 50s type scoring game, maybe low 60s, but I'll go with Florida. I think Florida would have too many weapons with Johnson and Blackshear, and I would be interested to see where Houston would get their points from, because Houston doesn't have many guys who score tons of points. I think their leading scorer was Mills this year, and I think when I looked at his stats, it was like 13 points a game, which isn't bad, but it's not like what some of these other teams are doing. So I think that Florida would be able to stifle Houston's offense and be able to move on.
Florida, a top five team preseason, struggled up and down, had an up and down season this year. But, you know, they still have that talent. They have the talent that made them a top five team preseason. So that's the first two games in Omaha. That was in the Midwest region. Now, the Omaha fans, by Seth's bracket, and that's what we're going by the way, our bracket that we're following. For our listeners who didn't join us yesterday and maybe missed some of the other podcasts we did, Seth was our resident AFP bracketologist for the last couple of years, maybe last 3 years that Seth's been doing that for us. And so when the NCAA tournament was shuttered because of the COVID-19 outbreak, we decided, hey, one more bracket from Seth, and that's what we're following here for our NCAA tournament, and we're going to play this out over the next few weeks. I've seen some bracket folks who have just done everything at once, put it all in one big story or podcast, and they're done. I felt like if we played this out a little bit, it would maybe make it feel a little more like an NCAA tournament. So that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it, for those who are sort of new to what we're doing here. So we've played two games. We got 14 more to go. And the fans in Omaha get lucky. They get two number one seeds in their pod. In the South region, the number one seed Baylor, 16 seed Siena. What you got here?
Yeah, this one, not another UMBC. I think Baylor will be too much. Now, I will say that I feel like Baylor hasn't been playing the most amazing basketball here at the end. I felt like, you know, they were playing their best basketball in December and January. But I think this is a team that, you know, they play very solid defense. I just think that Siena would have a hard time really breaking down Baylor. So I'll go with Baylor in this one pretty comfortably. But, yeah, I would say of all the 1-16 matchups, I would actually say that Baylor, I think, is the most vulnerable one seed, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right. Down the stretch, they had a couple big losses down the stretch. But they at least get through the first round and get to the weekend. And then the 8-9 game playing into the Baylor bracket then, number 8 seed LSU, number 9 seed USC.
Yeah, so this would be a very intriguing matchup for me because I feel like both teams were very up and down all year. Gosh, I was going to say LSU, I think both teams finished in the top four in their conferences, but man, when you watched them at certain points, you kind of thought that they could be closer to the middle of the pack of their conferences. LSU, I mean, there's still a lot going on there where you think about what's going to happen with their coach and everything like that, but they've seemed to put that behind them. That didn't seem to affect them at all this year. I think LSU is probably the better basketball team of these two teams, and I would go ahead and say that I will favor them in a game against USC.
All right, so from Omaha in the Midwest, we've got Kansas and Florida, a 1-9 matchup for the weekend on Sunday. In the South, we have a Baylor-LSU matchup coming up on Sunday. So now we'll skip down to Greensboro. And it does turn out that from Seth's rendering, and this would have been the case, you get all four teams heading into the same regional. That's all in the East region. And because, you know, the NCAA tournament does like to do the best it can to help sell tickets when they actually have the ability to put fans in the arenas. And the way Seth has this one worked out, boy, this would be a great one for selling tickets. You have as the top three of the top four seeds in this region, you have Duke, UVA, and Maryland. Of course, Duke is a Carolina-based school, maybe not a huge fan base in the Carolinas, but it's Duke in the Carolinas. UVA, 3 hours down the road from Charlottesville, down 29, and Maryland not that far away. The Maryland fan base could relatively easily get down to Greensboro. So we'll start the top part of this bracket. Number 5 Baylor, Butler. I said Baylor. Butler. And here's the intrigue. Another 5-12 matchup that's going to get some people. Would have gotten people really excited. ETSU. Who do you got here?
Yeah. So yesterday we talked about a little bit how the 5-12 matchups. I felt like all of them. Were all very intriguing. That I was almost tempted to pick all 12s over 5. I would say Butler was a lot better this year than I thought they would be to begin the season. I think that there have been times where I watched them where I thought they're just as good as anybody in the Big East. Their leading scorer, Baldwin, I think is one of the best players in that conference and can take over any game. But at the end of the day, I've watched a couple of East Tennessee games. I watched the Southern tournament, and I just really liked what I saw. I felt like they had 4 or 5 guys that they could get scoring from, whether that be Boyd or Hodges, Williamson. I'm going to go with another 12 here. I'm going to say that East Tennessee will be able to knock off 5-seeded Butler because I think they have too many scoring options.
You know, and the reason these 5-12s are always so good, the 12s are the best of the mid-major conference champions, largely. That you might see a mid-major conference champion sneak up, but largely the 12s are there. That's where those teams end up, and they're successful. They're coming off of at least a 3-game winning streak, probably a longer winning streak. And the 5s are usually power conference teams that, you know, maybe were aspiring to be a 3 or a 4, and they maybe lost a couple games down the stretch to get there. So that's why these matchups are always so good. And I would have gone the same way, ETSU playing good basketball down the stretch, certainly. So the winner of that game plays, and that's ETSU, plays the winner of number 4 Duke, number 13 New Mexico State. Tell us what goes on here.
Yeah, so some people might be surprised to see Duke as a 4 seed on mine. And if you didn't join the podcast yesterday, I'll reiterate this. How I did my bracketology was I did it like the conference tournaments played out. So teams lost. Like, for instance, with Duke, they would have lost in the semifinals to Florida State, as Florida State's the higher seed. So I always went the higher seed. And in the long run, that actually hurt Duke, even though most people I've seen has had Duke as high as a 2 seed in their final bracketology. I just, with the numbers, I thought Duke was a 4. I might have been completely wrong, but that's for another podcast. But anyways, Duke and New Mexico State, yeah. Duke will have Carey and Jones. And there's, I mean, I'll be pretty short and sweet with this one. I just think they'd be too much for New Mexico State. New Mexico State has some good players. I did see a thing where I was talking about how could this have been the year that New Mexico State made a run with players that they have, like Queen. But I just think at the end of the day, it's in Greensboro. I know that doesn't mean everything, but still, I think Duke will be pretty fired up, and I think that they would have no answer for Carey, so I'll go with Duke.
Yeah, Duke, I would agree, actually, Seth. I would have put them as a 4 seed as well. The thing about this Duke team, and I thought this, I started thinking this probably around the time, maybe mid-December. They're a team that could go all the way to the Final Four, or they could have lost on the first weekend. And so the ceiling very high, but when they're down, they're way down. So, so we have Duke and ETSU advancing to Madison Square Garden. And so now our next matchup, the 11 versus 11, the first 4 game was going to be Texas Tech versus Richmond. Now, for the purposes, this is for entertainment purposes only, of course, I've already spilled the beans on who we would have judged to have won that game, because I wrote a preview, and this is one of the things we're doing in conjunction with this. I am doing for our UVA fans out there in particular, and a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, both live and, of course, later on podcast archive, and a lot of our readers, certainly a lot of our reader base from a sports perspective are UVA fans. That's where we've made our money for a number of years. And so this year I started a new thing when I would preview a UVA basketball game. What I would headline that story would be, for example, playing Duke. What UVA basketball fans need to know about Duke. And that's just kind of caught on this year. And we're very fortunate that did. And so I've already written my what UVA basketball fans would have needed to know about Texas Tech. So Texas Tech, Seth, I'm feeding you that right now. They won the game against Richmond, which, hey, UVA versus Richmond would have been a fun one too. We get our, I'll say this too. I wrote this in the column. The NCAA Tournament Selection Committee will tell you we don't seed games and seed teams with matchups in mind, but you know they do. And so any opportunity the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee would have had to put UVA and Texas Tech in a game early, they would have taken. So now the other caveat, Seth, I want to keep writing those columns. So tell me about UVA Texas Tech.
Well, yeah, it would be a rematch of the national championship game from last year. Texas Tech has a few good wins this season, but I think down the end of the stretch, like a lot of teams that we're talking about, just kind of fell apart a lot. And I think that they still would have gotten into the NCAA tournament just because some of their quality wins and how their numbers look because of those wins. But honestly, this Texas Tech team is nowhere close to as good as they were last year. In fact, I would say this Texas Tech team, I feel like, is a lot like what people thought that this Virginia team was going to be, a team that would barely get in. It might struggle, might not even get in, who knows. I'll say Texas Tech has a couple good scoring options, Ramsey being their leading scorer. I'll say he would probably be Virginia's biggest threat. But at the end of the day, I think that, like we were talking about, this Virginia team has overachieved, and this Texas Tech team has kind of underachieved going into this year. UVA, the win streak that they've been on, I mean, according to this, obviously, they wouldn't be on a win streak anymore because I would have had them lose in the conference tournament. But still, they're just playing their best basketball right now. Clark scoring, DeKite scoring. I just feel like it will probably be another. It'll be a slugfest. I think it'd be low scoring. It'd be hard fought, but I definitely think UVA would be able to pull it out.
Yeah, probably a 47-46 final score that contributed further to my pending heart issues later in life. But UVA advances. Yeah, and I think you put it well. That Texas Tech team sort of was the team that you folks thought UVA would be. Texas Tech only brought two guys back from that championship team last year. So, and the winner of that game then plays the winner of number 3 Maryland, number 14 Bradley. Break this one down for us.
Yeah, so this game right here, I will tell people right now, this game will be closer than what people probably think. I was very tempted to take Bradley in this game, actually, but I will not. I'm going to take Maryland. I just think with Cohen and Smith, I think Maryland would just have too much for Bradley to be able to handle. But Bradley's a good basketball team. In fact, I think Bradley in some ways is underseeded in this just because they have a significant amount of losses. But if you watch them play, like they would be a team that if I was a 3 seed and they were the 14 that I got, I would not want to play them. But I think Cohen and Smith for Maryland would probably be able to take over. I mean, Wiggins is another great option for Maryland. I think that, yeah, Maryland will win. And also it sets up a very intriguing second-round matchup with Maryland and Virginia, former rivals.
Oh, yeah. Two bitter rivals. Those are some fun games. I've seen so many of those games in person. I've been up to College Park. And so, yeah, that would be those two fan bases know to hate each other. That would be on Sunday a must-see game. And actually, the Duke and UVA both would be there Sunday. And here's what you think, Seth. Right now, it is not, as we're recording this live at least, 9:17 p.m. Friday morning. I might have gone down last night to stay the night in Greensboro. Scott German and I may have just got on the road this morning. It's only about a 3-hour drive. We were just in Greensboro last week. So, yeah, I'd be there. I'd be on the way instead. So those games are in the Greensboro region. Now let's go to Cleveland. And we have two regions that these sets of games will feed into. First in the Midwest. Number 6, West Virginia. Number 11, Colorado. What you got here?
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody follows Pac-12 basketball that listens to this podcast, but I almost didn't have Colorado get in. And some people might be like, what are you talking about? Look at their numbers, everything like that. But Colorado, I believe, I don't have the stat in front of me, I believe they lost like 7 of their last 8. They were not playing good basketball. They got beat in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. I was going to say, I almost didn't put them in, but I've been seeing tons of bracketologies that still has Colorado as like an 8 seed, and I'm just like, how? Sorry, that's just my little rant on Colorado for the day, because I'm just like, I don't understand how people are still putting them as high as they are, and I guess you can probably see where I'm going with this. West Virginia is just the best basketball team. They have the offense that they run, the pressure and everything like that. I just think West Virginia would just – I honestly think this game would be like a low seed playing a high seed blowout type scoreline. I hope that I'm not making any Colorado fans listening mad, but I really don't think this game would be that close at all. I'm going with West Virginia and pretty convincingly.
Yeah, that Colorado team, their last game was a loss to Washington State in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. They lost by double digits.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't close.
It wasn't close. I mean, and as you pointed out, even assuming, well, they lost their last game, so you already had that one in your books. Mm-hmm. They lost the last 5. That one's a hard one. Usually teams like that, let's see. So you had them 11. Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Pretty nice. So WVU advances. Next matchup here in Cleveland, Midwest region, 3 seed Michigan State, 14 seed North Dakota State. How does this one go?
Well, I don't know how you feel about this, Chris, but I feel like every year North Dakota State gets in this thing. They give people a little bit of fits. Like, I know last year they got in at the 16. And, they actually played with Duke for a half. Like,
yeah, they did. I think they met at halftime of that one, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, they were right there with them, and then they kind of just let Duke kind of pull away the first 5 minutes of the second half, and that was kind of it. North Dakota State always plays well against whoever they play, so this game, I actually think, is going to be a close game. Michigan State, everybody going in this year. They've kind of started to come back to the form that everyone thought they were going to be. They'd been disappointing for most of the year. At one point, I think I might have even had them as low as a 5 seed in my earlier bracketologies back like in January. So, yeah, they've been able to turn it around. And honestly, I think if the Big Ten tournament would have probably played out, Michigan State would have been my favorite. You know, obviously, you don't need to talk about – I mean, I don't even need to mention Winston. Like, everyone knows how good of a basketball player and good of a leader he is for the Spartans. I mean – but even besides him, you have Tillman who can score. I just, as much as I would love for North Dakota State to pull off an upset here, I'm going with Michigan State. They're just playing their best basketball at the right time, as most Tom Izzo teams do. So I'll go Michigan State, but I'll pull Lee Corso here and say closer than the experts think.
Yeah, I would go with that too. Yeah, I got to see that North Dakota State team in person. They were in the Columbia Regional last year, playing Duke right after the Virginia Gardner Webb game, and yeah, I'm very impressed with that team and what they have, and they brought a lot back from that team. So we have West Virginia, Michigan State set for Sunday action in the Midwest in Cleveland. Now let's go to the East region, and this is I gotta say this, Seth, this is the team I feel worst for with what happened in terms of the season being canceled. Dayton, number one seed, boy, they were fun to watch this year. I watched them play several times. And it really does. You can probably tell my boys, I really feel bad for this group, because obviously they're not going to bring the same group back next year. Obi Toppin's going to go and make a lot of money in the NBA. But number one, Dayton, number 16, Winthrop.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. One of the first things I said when this whole tournament got canceled was, I feel really bad for a school like Dayton, who this is probably going to be the best basketball team they've ever had. Yeah. They're never going to be as good. And if you don't think that this team couldn't have won the national championship, then you just haven't watched them. This isn't like a mid-major who like snuck up there and got a really high seed. This is one of the best four teams in college basketball. Toppin, to me, is the best player in the country. I think he should win player of the year. He's just an absolute beast. I mean, there's no other way. Every time I watch a Dayton game, it's just like, even when it was against Kansas in the Maui Invitational, or when I can't remember who they beat in the first round. Was it Georgia they beat in the first round of that thing? And then yeah. Virginia Tech. Yeah. I just say that. Yeah, he blows me away. And I made sure after I watched the Maui to watch more of his games. So I watched them, you know, some in A-10 play and everything like that. So obviously I love this Dayton team, and I feel just as bad as you do for them, because this is a team that was very capable of, even if they didn't win a national championship, of making it to the Final Four. And they have a really good fan base and everything like that, so you know that they would have been full force. So yeah, obviously I'm going with Dayton here over Winthrop. Winthrop is one of those teams I feel like always manages to get into the tournament and always play people pretty tough, but I like this Dayton team so much that I think Toppin would, you know, be able to score at will on Winthrop, and Dayton would win pretty comfortably.
So the 8-9 matchup in the East, Arizona, a pair of interesting teams here. Arizona number 8, number 9, Cincinnati. What we got here?
Yeah, so Cincinnati was a bubble team going into the last weekend. They were the number 1 overall seed in the American, so they get in because I have them winning the American tournament. And then with that, they were actually able to move up to a 9 seed. And then you got Arizona. These Pac-12 teams are so hard to predict for me. You just don't know what you're going to get from them. It just feels like that they've played really well at spurts, and then they've just kind of played just downright terrible at other times. That being said, I'm going to go with Arizona over Cincinnati. I think, really honestly, Cincinnati probably wouldn't have gotten in if it wasn't for them being a 1 seed in the American, and for me just playing it out as if they won that conference. But, yeah, I was going to say, I'll go with Arizona here. Arizona has, you know, 3 really good scoring options. I think they would be able to do just enough to get past Cincinnati.
So, from the east part of the bracket there in Cleveland, Dayton advances, Arizona advances, and also, again, from the earlier part of the day, the way we're playing them out in the Midwest, WVU, the number 6 seed, West Michigan State, the number 3 seed. So, wow, there's some fun matchups on the weekend. West Virginia, Michigan State, Dayton, Arizona coming up for us on Sunday. And then, so the last part of our day, appropriately enough, out west, Sacramento. And let's see. I think I'm going to put this all down here. So Sacramento is, let's see, they're all in the West region. I guess that's appropriate. Two teams that are nowhere near the West region in real life have to, somebody's got to fly out there to play these games. Auburn, number 5 seed, number 12 seed Liberty. Another 5-12 matchup with intrigue.
Yep, another one. I said all my 12-5s I think would have been very interesting to see how they played out. Liberty last year, everyone knows, defeated Mississippi State, so they know what it's like defeating a SEC team in the NCAA tournament. In fact, that was a 5-12 matchup as well. Auburn, at the beginning of the year, Auburn and my preseason bracketology that I did for you, I'm pretty sure that I had Auburn as like one of my last four teams in. I was not buying Auburn at all going into this year because I felt like they lost most of their scoring from last season. But then they kind of overachieved from what I thought all season. But then, as a lot of teams that I keep bringing up, it feels like once February came around, they kind of started dropping back down to earth. I said Auburn, I know they lost a couple games there at the end. I know they beat Tennessee to kind of stop the bleeding at the end of the season. But, yeah, anyone who's watched this Liberty team knows this is a good basketball team. They have a good outside-inside game. I'm going with the 12 again. I think that's the third 12 I picked over a 5. But, hey, I said they were going to be intriguing matchups, so I'm going to go with Liberty to defeat Auburn.
Yeah, I'm going with the same reasoning. Auburn lost. I looked it up. They were 3-4 in their last 7. Liberty just solid all year long. And also, Liberty coached by Richie McKay, they play that brand of basketball. He took the pack line defense and that patient offense down with him down the road to Lynchburg. They play the mid-major version of UVA system, and they play it real well. So Liberty advancing in an upset over Auburn. Now we've got the other part of that bracket, number 4 Oregon, number 13 Akron.
Yeah, so this game will be a very good game. I think I've only picked one other 13 to beat a 4 so far in this thing, and this one was very tempting. Akron's got some scorers. They have two guards named Jackson and Cheese who both put up over 15 points a game. They actually have 4 guys on their team who score in the double digits. So, yeah, they will give Oregon all that they can handle. It's tough for me to pick, like, after 12-5s. It's very tough for me to pick another upset. And Oregon also has one of the best players in the country in Pritchard. I'm going to say Oregon wins, but I'm going to say, like I said yesterday, I think it was about St. Mary's, Indiana. I'm going to say this game goes to overtime, and Oregon wins because Pritchard takes over.
So Oregon advances. They'll face Liberty on Sunday. And now we'll go to our evening session in Sacramento. These are the late-night games that now that you've been watching basketball all day long, you got a little bit more to go. You drink some caffeine, and you stay awake a little bit. Number 7, Providence. Number 10, Arizona State.
Yeah, so I don't know, Chris, how familiar you've been with Providence this year, but Providence is probably playing the best basketball out of anybody in the country at this moment. I mean, they have just been playing very good basketball. I feel like they've been scoring. Every time I see one of their scores, I feel like they're scoring like the 80s, close to 90 points. They have just been clicking on all the right cylinders. I think if the Big East tournament didn't get canceled, they were going to win the Big East tournament. That's how on fire I feel like that they've been. I would probably say I will take them over Arizona State. Arizona State's team that, they've gotten in the last couple of years. Granted, it was play-in games that they had to get in. But I think Providence is just a better basketball team. I think they're playing such good basketball at the moment. Like I said, I honestly would have made them the favorite to win the Big East if it wasn't for if it wasn't for the cancellation. Yeah, I have the stats right in front of me now. I mean, they did have a 58-point game there, but it was a win over Villanova, so there you go. I mean, sure, they only scored 58, but they probably won their biggest game of the season in their last 3 games. So, yeah, I think Providence right now is playing so much better than anybody else in the country. Like, in general, probably Kansas is the only team playing better than them. So I'm going to go with Providence over Arizona State.
Yeah, I've got them. They won their last 6. That included, when you look at the KenPom rankings of those 6, Everybody top 100, two top 20s, three top 30s. So, I mean, that was they weren't just winning games. They were winning games. But that's the way to do it. So our last game of the day, and this is the one that really keeps us going here. San Diego State, which until recently had been a one seed, as the number two seed now out west. And they faced number 15 team East Washington State.
Yeah, so I think the loss in the Mountain West Championship actually kind of benefited San Diego State, because now instead they would have probably been the one seed who would have had to go out east in New York. And then, could have had to play, who knows, as the two or three seeds if they make a run all the way to the Elite Eight. Now they can be out west. They can be just down the road. You know, Gonzaga's the one seed in their region, which obviously Gonzaga's a good team. But if you're San Diego State, you feel like you can beat anybody. Yeah, and I think, honestly, like, losing that game to Utah State actually might have benefited the Aztecs. San Diego State will win this game, I think. East Washington State, what I've seen of them or what I've been able to, like, research, they look like, you know, they're a very scrappy, well-coached team. But San Diego State that's the definition of San Diego State. I think Flynn would be able to score a will. And, yeah, I'll go with the Aztecs in this one, setting up a very interesting matchup in the second round.
San Diego State, Providence in the second round, Oregon Liberty in the second round. So analyzing today, I got the quick math here. Yesterday we had six seed line upsets, six higher seeds of the 16 games winning those games. Today I got Florida at number 9. I've got ETSU at number 12, Liberty at number 12. So today a little more chalky, but that's okay because, I think so many – this tournament feels like – it was all season long, I felt like. It was going to be so evenly matched. And I think they're, you know, generally speaking too, you know, we do a better job in this day and age of seeding teams. We have more numbers, more analytics. Wall-to-wall TV basketball helps too. And so there really aren't any surprises. And I think they see better as a result. We kind of get a better feel. But there we go. We are all set for the weekend. And so, Seth, I hope you're good this weekend. We can do a couple of these, maybe, you know, do one tomorrow, do one Sunday, and keep pretending like we're actually doing games here. I guess the next couple might be shorter, but we can spend some more time maybe on each game. But, wow, how do you feel like we're going so far? Does this feel like – you know, I guess we're talking basketball, and that's a good thing. We're talking basketball, not all the other stuff going on.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I'm trying to break them down as quickly, but also as best as I can. But yeah, I enjoy it, and you know, we'll be able to get more in depth with the farther we go into this thing, because you know, there'll be less games. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
This has been fun. Well, thank you, Seth, for taking us through the brackets, and we'll get you back on tomorrow.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, and for our listeners out there, let's see, I'll play the bumper music, get us out. Everyone have a great day, and we will talk to you again with more NCAA Tournament Coronavirus Edition on the weekend.